from KXJZ in Sacramento. This is Insight. I'm Jeffrey Callison. Coming up in the program, the local pop rock band Walking Spanish. Also, some alternative holiday gift ideas. But before we talk about the alternative ideas for gifts, let's talk about regular old holiday shopping. How did the holiday shopping season come about? How important a time of year is it really for the retail business? And how does this year's holiday shopping season look? Joining us is Scott Davis. He's Principal of Strategic Marketing Decisions, a consultancy that specializes in marketing strategy, pricing, and product design. He was formerly in the marketing faculty at the UC Davis Graduate School of Management. He teaches at UCLA Anderson School of Management. Scott, welcome to Inside.
Nice to be with you.
I remember reading that the Thanksgiving date was chosen for commercial reasons. Is that right?
Well, it was originally set aside by Abraham Lincoln as a time to give thanks for coming over to this prosperous country. And
yes.
What ended up happening was he set aside the date, or he set it aside for the last Thursday in November. And it had been issued by presidential decree that that would be sort of how it would be until the Depression. And then there started to be a little controversy about the timing of Thanksgiving, because I think it was in 1933 or so, the last Thursday in November ended up being at the end of the month, which shortened the holiday season. So there was some pressure by some of the bigger retailers to move Thanksgiving earlier so that there would be a longer shopping period, because people would tend to put off their purchases until they got rid of the last holiday before Christmas.
Sure.
So, you know, at that time, there was some discussion about moving it back. They didn't move it back until 1939, when, again, it was falling at the end of November.
And, oh, dear.
And FDR decided to move it up a week. And that caused a little controversy, because you had calendar manufacturers who had already printed their calendars for the upcoming year.
Oh, he just did this quite quickly.
So, yeah, it was in response to requests by some of the larger retailers. And interestingly, some of the smaller retailers were a little frustrated by that also, because they felt that they were advantaged by a shorter shopping season, because when you had a shorter shopping season, the larger retailers would be more crowded, and the smaller retailers would get the overflow. So the smaller retailers pushed back against it, but they did end up moving it to the fourth Thursday of the month.
You know, every year once the commercials start showing up on TV, most people start saying, oh, it just seems like it starts earlier and earlier, and that the holiday shopping season is long. But really, is it to people's advantage, retailers and customers, is it to their advantage or not that the holiday shopping season is so long? Would we be better off if it were shorter?
Well, it's hard to say whether or not we would be better off with a longer season. You know, the consumers get some advantages in that they start price discounting earlier and earlier. So that doesn't necessarily hurt the consumer. I think the earlier the shopping season starts, if the shopping season also includes price discounts, the more it hurts the retailers, because they're trying to compete with everybody outside of the gate.
Yes.
You know, so it's like, you know, unproductive competition on their end. Now, on the consumer side, you get kind of tired of seeing holiday decorations and all the promotions and advertisements early on, and so
sure.
It gets a little annoying on that front.
Well, your specialties include pricing, and I noticed that you co-wrote a paper a few years ago, How to Fight a Price War. How should retailers manage pricing in the holiday season? Because most people are just waiting for the prices to fall.
Well, I think that they need to be selective in the items that they price discount. One thing that retailers do try to do is they try to, especially in the day after Thanksgiving discounts, they tend to be selective in items and have loss leaders and try to get people in their stores and hopefully getting them to buy some things that are on smaller discount. So that's one thing that they do. But, you know, it's really hard to unilaterally as a retailer when everybody else is discounting to say, hey, I'm not going to offer a discount.
Yeah.
So it's really sort of hard. It's just a question of managing that competition in the most effective way. And I think the best way to do it would be selective discounting, as opposed to, you know, across the board, we're going to clear out the inventory real early.
We often hear that the day after Thanksgiving is the big shopping day, the so-called Black Friday. Is it really the biggest shopping day?
Well, it tends not to be the biggest shopping day. It's usually in the top half dozen or so. The biggest shopping day is usually the last Friday or the last Saturday before Christmas. But it is a big time where people actually do go out and see what's out there. So because it's a weekday, people don't have other plans for a Friday. They normally don't have to work. It's easy for them to go out and shop. But oftentimes what they do is they will go see what's there. They'll buy a few things on deal. But in terms of actual sales revenue, it tends to be – the biggest day tends to be the Saturday before Christmas. And the day before, you know, you end up with a few big days just before Christmas.
We're talking about the holiday shopping season. My guest is Scott Davis, Principal of Strategic Marketing Decisions, a consultancy that specializes in marketing strategy, pricing, and product design. He teaches in the MBA programs at UCLA, but he's based in Sacramento. How does the internet play into all this? What influence has the internet had on the retail, on the holiday shopping season?
Well, one thing is that people will tend not to rush into the stores as much to buy the Thursday after, or the Friday after Thanksgiving. Oftentimes what they'll do is they'll get a feeling for what sort of deals are available, and then they may shop online. So they can shop during the day on Monday, and that's often called Cyber Monday, where the Monday after Thanksgiving, after people get a feeling for what sorts of prices are available, that's when a lot of people will actually do shopping online. So what it tends to do is it tends to shift some of the sales from in-store to online. And that probably hurts the day after Thanksgiving sales a little bit because people are not – they don't feel the same degree of pressure. You know, I'm in the store, you know, I have to buy now in order to get the deal. There will probably be deals, backup deals online later on. So they're getting an idea for the layout of the purchasing landscape.
This is more psychology than marketing, I guess, but do you think we'll ever get to the day when people just don't want to go out shopping, that they'll just prefer to do it via the internet or something like that?
Well, I think that shopping is a social experience that people like to do. It's a fun thing to do. Like, people won't stop going to concerts even though they can download music to their iPods. It's something to get out of the house. People like excuses to go out and do other things. And, you know, in a real environment, you can actually pick up a product, hold it, see what it's like. You know, with clothing, you can try it on. So there are lots of experiences that you can have by shopping in person as opposed to online. But, you know, in many cases, if people are convenience shoppers, they'll tend to go online because it's a lot easier to search, it's a lot easier to compare, and they may, there will continue to be growth online, I believe.
Is there an official start and end of the holiday shopping season? Does the retail industry actually have an official start and stop?
Not that I know of. I think it's it keeps moving up, and it's sort of an individual retailer decision. You know, usually they start looking at November and December as the holiday season, and the big part of it is post Thanksgiving. And I think that we'll probably get a good indication over the next week or so as to the strength of the economy, because there's a lot of concern, as has been reflected in the stock market recently, about how strong the consumer is.
In Deloitte's annual holiday survey, they found that 69% of people plan to buy one or more gift certificates as holiday gifts this year, and that's up from 66% last year. I think it keeps rising. Does that mean that January should be considered part of the holiday shopping season because so much of this money is only actually being used to buy things in January?
Well, people buy or spend at least the money on the gift certificate before then. So
that's
it's
included.
Revenue that's accounted. But what it does is it does extend the shopping season after Christmas. Mm-hmm. You know, you have the after Christmas sales that extended a little bit. And then retailers also will have a second crack at customers when they come in with their gift cards to redeem them, because usually people won't just exactly redeem the amount of the gift card. They're going to buy more than the amount of the gift card in order to get the full value of the gift card. Or if they don't use it all, then it's extra money in the retailer's pocket.
What are you hearing about this year's holiday shopping season? I know it hasn't really started yet, but it's imminent. What is the retail industry expecting this year?
I think a lot of retailers are pretty nervous, especially the ones that are sort of the department stores that kind of target the quote-unquote middle class, because there's a lot of economic pressure on consumers these days. Last year you saw some downward trends in growth. You know, you still had growth in sales over the holidays, but there was pressure exerted by the housing market and, you know, people having to deal with refinance mortgage rates and things like that. So that was a pressure that they were started to experience last year that kind of slowed things down last year. You have that again this year. And on top of that, we also have oil prices at about $100 a barrel, you know, getting pretty close to it, which has had a big impact at the pump. And our oil prices are about as high as they've been in the last 20 or 30 years in real inflation-adjusted dollars. So that puts pressure on people. And then you have limited access to credit. They aren't going to be able to refinance their homes in order or they will be more limited in their ability to refinance their homes in order to pay for large Christmas bills. A lot of people have already tapped a lot of their credit because when mortgages readjust and you have to pay more on mortgages, then you tend to use credit to pay the other bills. So a lot of consumers are going to be a little bit budget constrained, and I think there's a lot of nervousness in retail about how the market will shape up this coming year.
Could that be considered a good thing if people are scaling back gift purchases because of their financial situation?
Well, it depends on whose point of view. It's not a good thing from the retailer's point of view. And I think that it will probably hurt sort of the mid-level department stores more than the discounters, because what you'll end up seeing is instead of shopping at Macy's, people will shop at Target or Walmart. And, you know, so they'll make purchases there. And when the consumer slows down, that will slow the economy down, you know, which will have some ripple effects through the economy that will possibly result in a recessionary environment. So I think we'll get some good indications in the next month or so as to whether or not we should expect a recession in the next year.
In another survey that I read about today, it's the Reuters Zogby Index. It found that 40% of Americans expect a recession next year. That's up from last month. And 39% expect to spend less during the holiday season this year, and that has also risen from last month. So people seem to be feeling worse. But that Deloitte survey I mentioned also found that people plan to spend less on everything in the holiday season except for gifts. So I guess gifts still hold this this big power over people.
Yeah, people like giving, and you know they like the event. But I do think that you probably will see some restrictions. And what that survey would suggest to me is people are going to further tap their credit, and hopefully they won't overextend themselves, because if they overextend themselves over the holidays, then they're really going to have to tighten their belts in January and February in order to not get underwater.
And finally, Scott, back to your pricing specialty. When would you expect to see prices being cut? This, any way to tell?
Well, you will have some deep discounts on Friday on selected items. I think that you're probably
going to... But that's a given. That's a given that they'll do that.
Yeah, and you'll probably see it mostly on durable goods where people, they're using the lower prices on, say, your flat screen TVs or your iPods or things like that. You'll see kind of low prices there, and you'll tend to see those maintained. What will happen, I believe, to other kinds of goods is retailers will kind of say, okay, we'll see how it goes. So, you know, if sales are slow, then you're going to see some deep discounts when it gets closer to the holiday season. Now, a lot of retailers have purchased less in anticipation of the slowdown in the economy. So if they correctly anticipated, then they won't feel the pressure to cut price as much when it gets close to the holiday season. So I really think that it depends on how sales go. And if consumers wait and everybody does that, then and retailers are sitting there with a large inventory, then they're going to be discounting pretty heavily.
So inventory is the key here.
Yeah.
Or part of it anyway.
Yeah. So effective retail management in the face of a recession is to buy less.
That's right. That's how they can play chicken with the consumers.
Right.
Scott Davis is Principal of Strategic Marketing Decisions, a Sacramento consultancy that specializes in marketing strategy, pricing, and product design. He teaches at the UCLA School of Management. Scott, thanks so much for joining us.
Pleasure.
You're listening to Insight from KXJZ. Coming up, some alternative gift ideas. We'll be right back. You're listening to Insight from KXJZ. I'm Jeffrey Callison. Next time in Insight, a controversial proposal to expand Mercy Hospital in East Sacramento is going before the City Council. You'll learn about the expansion and hear from neighborhood residents opposed to the plan. That's coming up on Monday. And later next week, rockabilly bassist Lee Rocker, he and his band are coming to Sacramento. Rocker is best known for his work with the Stray Cats. And don't forget, later this week, Dina's Diary, Journey of a Cancer Survivor, an encore broadcast of this award-winning KXJZ documentary. It airs at this time on Friday. This rebroadcast includes some new material from Dina Howard, as well as a conversation I recently had with her to find out how she's doing today. Earlier in the program, we talked about the holiday shopping season, but if you don't want to give someone a sweater or a DVD player or whatever as a gift, and you're in the market for some alternative ideas, we have some for you in this part of the program. We'll start with someone from an organization called Heifer International. His name is Isaac Egge. He's Northwest Regional Director, based in Sacramento, but covering a big chunk of the Northwest and United States. Isaac, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Heifer International, what does that mean?
Well, Heifer International is a nonprofit humanitarian organization dedicated to alleviating the suffering and hopelessness associated with chronic hunger and poverty worldwide. We utilize appropriate livestock and training in sustainable farming to help people lift themselves up out of poverty permanently.
So heifer is used literally here because a heifer could be an actual animal that's given through your organization.
Absolutely. The heifer is one of the animals we use. We use a variety of animals ranging from pigs, chickens, goats, water buffaloes, alpacas, animals that are appropriate both to the culture of the people we serve and to the environments in which they live.
Aren't farm animals expensive?
Not so much. No. I
mean, how much would you expect to spend on, let's say, a pig?
Well, a pig would be about $120 in terms of if someone were to want to buy a pig for their grandmother. But that's a global average, which includes the purchase of the animal, the shipment, the training that goes along with these animals. So we've averaged that from anywhere from Thailand to the southern United States.
So it seems like people can give animals throughout much of the world.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We currently work in 50 countries.
What kind of, you've mentioned some animals already. Give us an idea of some others that people could be giving.
Fish, an incredible source of protein and an economic driver in rural communities throughout Southeast Asia.
And when you say fish, you mean actually fish that people could put into a stream or a lake?
Well, first people are trained as to how to manage these aquaculture systems, as we call them. Development of a pond, small-scale pond. Then after upwards of a year of training, people are provided the fish, but also provided additional training is to develop what we call a kitchen garden, a mechanism to raise fish, also to raise chickens and crops around the structure.
I'm sure a lot of people would like to participate in this. They like the sound of it, but mm-hmm. they would just be concerned about what happens to these animals mm-hmm. when they are given to someone you'll never meet.
Well, I would equate it to, I would say that these animals are life in these communities. When people are given an animal, a goat, flocks of chickens, cows, this is a key to the future. Much of the world still lives off of the land, and livestock is the source of income, a source of food, a source of education, a source of hope that otherwise these communities would not have. And in my experience, it's unfortunate to say, but in some communities, they will treat these animals better than they could even treat their children in some aspects. These animals are valued more than many of us in our country can ever understand.
Mm. Did you say that people can give animals to people in the United States as well?
Absolutely. You know, we often overlook the incredible poverty that exists in our country. Our programs address need throughout Appalachia, throughout the southern United States, in the inner cities of America, where food insecurity reigns, with the Native American populations. We serve need where we see need, regardless of location.
We're talking about alternative gifts at this time of year. Isaac Egge is with Heifer International, an organization that helps people with make gifts of farm animals and the training to use those animals appropriately. Also in our studio, from a different organization is Leslie Botus, who's Vice President of Public Affairs for Blood Source. Leslie, welcome to Insight.
Thank you so much.
Giving blood is a gift. How does that work?
You know, giving blood is really a gift. And the great thing about giving blood, when we have all of the things going on in our life, especially during the holidays, is that it takes our time, it takes our good health, and it takes our willingness to spend a bit of time at the blood center or on a blood drive, rolling up a sleeve and having a needle, not a great big one, but a needle stuck in an arm, and giving the blood components that are needed for people injured in accidents and cancer and people going into surgery or burn victims or children with leukemia, a myriad of things that need to be taken care of with blood.
Is there a bigger demand at this time of year?
You know, it's incredible. The demand today, because of the medical therapies available and technologies, is very consistent. What happens during the holidays, however, is we're moving into cold and flu season. It happens every single year. People who are not healthy cannot give blood, so our regular donors become ill. That means we have to rely on some who don't generally give. Also, we get into that very busy schedule that accompanies the holidays, and we're thinking about shopping and celebrating and sharing. And we need to remind one another that every day within Central and Northern California, we need 700 blood donors to come to a blood source blood drive or blood center to help patients in 40 hospitals.
You need 700 a day?
A day.
Goodness.
Every year, Blood Source distributes about 250,000 blood components to patients all over.
How many of these people are coming for the first time, typically?
Yeah, interesting. We have about 10 to 15% of our donors will be first-time donors. And the great thing about the first-time donors, Isaac and I were speaking earlier, that it's generally from high schools and colleges, and what important donors there are. I have such great pride in high school and college students. 10 to 15% of our donor base are students. And they are learning to give. They're healthy. They're willing. If we can keep them from getting tattoos all the time, it makes life easier for us and some of the piercings. But first-time donors are incredibly important because we then make them long-term donors.
Leslie Botus with Blood Source. Who can't donate blood?
You know, most people can, and I think it's better to go to the can. If you're healthy, you're generally healthy, you weigh at least 110 pounds, a minimum of 16 with parental permission, and there's absolutely no upper age limit. So generally, people can. If people have had cancer, most cancers can give after a year off of treatment and healthy. There are some who can't. If they've had melanoma, lymphoma, leukemia, they cannot. But there are lots of people who can, and yet only about 3% of the population do. And so we need to get others to think about giving.
How much testing is done of blood once it's given? Because I guess, obviously, there's a certain honor system here. You're asking people what they have and don't have. But still, some diseases are so serious that you can't take any chances.
Absolutely. We certainly go through the human element of asking donors specific questions about behavior and health history. And then we go to the technology side, and we're doing a dozen or so tests today using the general technology of antigen testing and antibody testing. But then again, we're doing nucleic acid testing. We're testing specifically for viruses. West Nile virus is one that's had an impact on us in the valley. Also, we're testing for HIV, hepatitis, syphilis. And there are multiple tests, but a dozen or so tests done on every single pint of donated blood.
How long can you keep a pint of blood?
Interesting. Very short shelf life. Platelets that are used for cancer and leukemia and hearts and so many things, 5 days only.
Oh, dear.
And for red cells, 42 days. Plasma can be frozen for up to a year.
Leslie Botus with Blood Source. Our third guest, as we talk about alternative gift ideas, is Robert Rosenthal. He's Director of Communications for Volunteer Match. He joins us from San Francisco. Robert, welcome to Insight.
Thank you.
How can people give their time in the holiday season?
Well, you know, I have to say, you know, giving an animal to help with sustainable development and business and giving blood is just such great ways to give back. And, you know, Volunteer Match, what we do is we provide all the other ways to give back. We're all about helping people find a great place to volunteer. And as you can imagine, the holiday season becomes a peak time for us. Our web service, which your radio listeners can find at volunteermatch.org, is the place to go to type in your zip code, and you can find thousands and thousands of opportunities. I just did a search before the call that showed there were 450 active opportunities in the Sacramento region, And we actually have more than 40,000 opportunities across the country. So it's a lot of stuff going on.
So you type in your zip code, and can you also type in certain words if there's something you're particularly interested in?
Absolutely. We do it by keyword search, by zip code, all kinds of different ways to find great opportunities. Today there's opportunities for more than 54,000 nonprofits. And so I did notice that both BloodSource and Heifer International had local chapters that were using us to recruit volunteers. So there's lots of other ways to give back.
Hmm. Are there any volunteering opportunities that are particularly popular or needed at this time of year?
Well, you know, as you can imagine, whenever you come to Thanksgiving time or Christmas time, which are really holidays that represent times of happiness and joy and appreciation for what life has given you, it's often a time to look at giving back. And so if you were to come to Volunteer Match and type in the words holiday or Thanksgiving or Christmas, you'll find lots of opportunities, especially around helping with dining, helping with the homeless, helping with nonprofits that have programs that actually provide those services on Christmas Day or on Thanksgiving Day. You know, Christmas time is really a time of abundance for a lot of families, and for those families to spend some time working to create new traditions to help support those who maybe don't have quite as much in terms of material comfort is a great time to start thinking about volunteering.
And can you search for a particular nonprofit?
You can. We have an organization search. And, for instance, if you wanted to look at Blood Source or Heifer or maybe the local church on the corner in the street in your community, you can come and click on the organization search tab and type in those words and find it.
Who pays for what you do?
Well, that's a great question. We are supported by donations and generosity of foundations. We also have a corporate division that provides employee volunteer programs for more than 60 companies in the United States, some of the biggest names in the world, including Google and Nationwide, and those kinds of organizations that are trying to find a way to connect their employees with volunteering in their local communities.
We're talking about alternative gift ideas. Robert Rosenthal is with Volunteer Match in our studio. Isaac Eggie from Heifer International and Leslie Botis from Blood Source. Isaac, there's a Heifer gift registry. How does that work?
There is. So you're going to get married. So you don't want to handwrite your Christmas wish list. You're having a bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah coming up. Here's an opportunity to go on our website to spell out what you'd like to be purchased in your honor this year. Maybe it's a goat. Maybe it's a couple flocks of chickens. Could be a water buffalo this year. It's a way of both raising funds for Heifer International, but also a way to spread these concepts to friends and family.
So people can, you can split up an animal, so to speak, and people can contribute to that.
Yeah, perhaps you're not interested in spending $500 for a heifer. You can purchase a share of a heifer. You can purchase a share of a llama.
And how will you know what happened to the purchase?
Mm-hmm. Well, these are all donations to the mission of Heifer International. There are hundreds of stories on our website about how these animals have been used around the world for over the last 60 years. So we continuously update those, and we have a listing of all of our 830 current projects on our website as well.
So you can't actually track Daisy the cow that you purchased who's in Rwanda or whatever?
That'd be somewhat of an administrative nightmare, yeah. And it would require us to take the donations that we receive and use them for tracking, which we do, but not for the purposes of donors.
Now, Leslie, I don't want to get commercial here, but you do have a little incentive this week for blood givers.
We do. It's a sweet incentive for blood donors. You know, we find that just a little thank you seems to work well. We have candy that we're giving this week. Sometimes it's Baskin-Robbins ice cream. Sometimes it's a pizza. We find the best way to the heart where blood is pumped from is through the stomach, and we do a lot of that at Blood Source. And after people give blood, they also get to have a treat as well. So, you know, we remind people in the busyness of the holiday, if they're shopping and need to put their feet up, come on by Blood Source and we'll feed you and let you relax and save a life.
Perks up your blood sugar.
Sure does. It sure does.
And Robert, anything quickly from you that's seasonal?
Seasonal. Well, you know, it's funny. I was looking at some opportunities in the Sacramento area. And there's just so many great things these nonprofits are doing. Seasonal stuff often deals with staying indoors, keeping out of the rain. But certainly at the holiday time, there's opportunities to do things around holiday themes. Habitat for Humanity, East Bay out in Pleasant Hill, has an opportunity to decorate gingerbread houses to help support affordable housing. I noticed also that there's it's a great program, a little morbid on the strange category. The Old City Cemetery is looking for volunteer brick masons to do to lay bricks in a straight line.
Was that the city cemetery in Sacramento?
That's right.
Yeah. Wow.
Not necessarily to equate cemeteries with the holiday season, but it just shows the range of opportunities that are going on right now in everyone's backyard. And so the main thing is to get on the search engine and start typing around. What we believe is that there's an opportunity that's appropriate for everyone based on their own specific interest.
Yes.
And the great news is that the technology is so easy to use these days. There's really no reason people can't find something that's specific to their needs and interest.
Well, that's interesting about the city cemetery. We might want to find the grave those people ourselves for insight. In the meantime, thank you all very much for joining us. On the phone, Robert Rosenthal from Volunteer Match in San Francisco, and in our studio, Leslie Botus with Blood Source and Isaac Egge with Heifer International. You'll find links to these organizations, as usual, on our website, capradio.org/insight. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
You're listening to Insight from KXJZ. Coming up, local rock band Walking Spanish. We'll be right back. You're listening to Insight from KXJZ. I'm Jeffrey Callison. You can download previous editions of Insight for free. Find our archives at capradio.org/insight. Local pop rock band Walking Spanish is raising its profile. Their debut album came out recently. It's a collection of 9 catchy songs called Not Yet Now. And they have several gigs coming up through the end of the year, including 2 this weekend, Sacramento on Friday evening and El Dorado Hills on Saturday. Today, they're in our studio. And you'll hear them play live. Here they are, Walking Spanish. Welcome to Insight. And let's start with Alex Nelson. Alex, you're the singer, the guitarist, and the songwriter?
I guess you could say that, yeah.
Okay, we're going to start with the band's name. Where did Walking Spanish come from?
Well, Walking Spanish is an old phrase that I've heard. Now, I wasn't alive then, but I'm not sure. But it was used during the piracy days, you know, out on the Spanish Main, where they'd take a guy, if they wanted information out of him, they'd hold him above the deck, and so he could just have to walk right on the tips of his toes, so he'd be hurting real bad. So it's a way of torture, but we don't like to think of it that way. It's more like just doing something you don't really want to do, but you just got to do it because you got to.
So what drew you to the name? Was it just because of the sound of the name, or was it something about what it means?
There was the meaning and also the fact that I'm a really big Tom Waits fan. There's a Tom Waits song called Walking Spanish.
Oh, that's right. Well, you know, we just have that, a little bit of that lined up just so we can hear it. Let's hear. This is Tom Waits, Walking Spanish.
Slip him a picture of our Jesus. Or give him a spoon to dig a hole. But all it done ain't no one's business. But any blankets for the cold. Bet them the lights are on Broadway. Even the king is bowed his head. Never face looks right up at Mason.
What do you like about Tom Waits?
Oh, his originality. There's no one like him.
Yeah. You know, we hear a lot of I hear a lot of influences in your music. Tell us about the music you grew up with.
Well, let's see. I had 2 older brothers and some pretty cool parents, so I had a pretty extensive record collection, a lot of rock, a lot of folk, a lot of country. A lot of blues.
Okay.
So it goes anywhere.
Well, we have some clips from Not Yet Now, but you also have your instruments with you, and you're going to play a song for us. What's the song?
This song is called Counterfeit Wishbones.
And this is not on the album.
This is a new one? This is a new one, just to give everyone a taste of what we sound like right now.
Okay, that's great. Well, they're in our studio, Walking Spanish, the song Counterfeit Wishbones.
I don't want you.
Wow, that was Counterfeit Washbones, rather. My guests are Wishbones, I'm so sorry. Guests are the band Walking Spanish. I don't know it because it's a new song to us. And, you know, with that, with the title and with that sort of psychedelic bluesy sound, is that a different direction for the band?
Well, I'd have to say, you know, it's like growing up. You look back and you say, I can't believe how different I was back then. Not necessarily better or worse, but just different.
Yeah. Now, you are playing, you're opening a nightclub this weekend.
Sure am.
Yeah, tell us about that, Sartori Live.
Well, okay, there's this coffee shop in Eldorado Hills called Sartori Coffee, where we used to have a gig every Sunday night, and we started drawing some people, and, you know, the owner and I started talking, saying, you know, this town really has no place to play music, you know, anyway, in any place like a nightclub or anything, so I think this town could really use something like that. So he and I put some brains together, and we rented out the space next door, and we've been painting and bringing in furniture and chopping stuff up all weekend.
Very nice. Alex Nelson is singer, guitarist, and songwriter with Walking Spanish. Let's listen to a clip from the album Not Yet Now. This is the we'll listen to the first track, Up All Night. Alex, anything you'd like to say about Up All Night before we listen to a clip of it?
Well, you know what? It was originally written on piano.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. So there's a little ode to that in there. There's a piano part in it. So
okay, well, let's listen out for that. Here's Up All Night from Not Yet Now by Walking Spanish. Song is Up All Night. Alex, the guy who produced your album and played a few instruments on it is Jackie Green, who's your brother, right?
That's correct. Yeah.
Yeah. Have you played together a lot?
Well, not really. We kind of got completely different directions in that area. I've played with him once, and he's played on our set once. Needless to say, you know.
What's it like?
I think I got the better deal.
What's it like working with him?
Well, he's just like me. He's loud. We play very loud.
Yeah. You've changed your guitar. You now have an acoustic guitar here because there's a different sound for the next song you're going to play for us. And this is a live version of a song from Not Yet Now. What's the song?
This song is called Washed Away.
Okay.
And this is the last or second to last track on the album.
Okay, let's hear it.
Okay. Time when you love
Yes, I've come so far, but I ain't so far. Yes, I am so lost, but aren't we all so lost?
That was great. Thank you so much. We're really out of time. That's Walking Spanish, the band, the song, Washed Away. It's on their album, Not Yet Now. They have concerts this weekend, Sacramento at Maryland's on Friday night, and El Dorado Satori live on Saturday night. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.
This is Insight from KXJZ.